If you'd open your Bible to 1 John 5, we're going to continue our study and end up here next couple of weeks, 1 John. I titled the lesson, Overcomers Live by Faith. You'll see it as we go through. We'll be covering verses 5 through 12, but I want to begin, if you would, with me in verse 4. I want to back up one, and it kind of flows into the whole. 1 John 5:4. John writes, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Overcomers. Well, I want to be an overcomer. I want to be an overcomer in the future, but I want to overcome now. And I pray you do too. Sometimes we're living on the shallow side of our faith in God. John writes and says, whatever is born of God overcomes. Whatever God fathers, whatever God gives birth to, overcomes. And it overcomes the world. And we need to understand that. Anything that is tied to God overcomes the world. And John wants us to know that. In fact, he said this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The victory that overcomes is our faith. But you see, the problem a lot of times is that our faith is in our faith. And you say, well, what do you mean? Too many times we say we believe in God. There are people all over the face of this earth that believes in God in some way, some form, that He exists. But they don't have faith in God. They can't overcome. You and I, our faith should not be placed in our faith. Well, I believe. No, your faith has to be placed somewhere in someone, and faith is placed in God and rests on the promises of God and the assurances of God. And so whatever God begets, whatever God births, they overcome. And our faith is in God, and if God does that, then we overcome the world too because of it. Now, you know, I have to ask myself this question too. Why is it here we are, a body of Jesus, a body of believers? Why do we get overcome by the world so often? Something crops up, and we're going to have difficulties. There's going to be tragedies that's going to hit and affect parts of our life. And we crumble. Oh, we just go to pieces. We can't cope with it. Where's faith? Where's faith in that kind of response? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I never could overcome anything. I mean, we put ourselves, and society tells us to put our faith in us. You're the power. The power resides within you. The power is in your ability. The power is in your smart, your schooling. The power is in man. That's humanism. And it's alive and well. John said the victory in the world, the victory over the world, are the ones that are tied to God by faith. Those are the victors. And they don't look at themselves as the power. The power is in God. You know what? I couldn't overcome my sins. Could you? Anybody in here overcome their sins to forgive themselves? It took God. It took God to overcome. Now, knowing that, I want you to keep this marked, and we're going to come right back. I want you to come back to Hebrews 12, just to few pages back to your left. And I'm going to give you time to find it. Hebrews chapter 12. Because I'm going to quote you another verse, so I need you to be listening at the time you're turning. Hebrews chapter 12, if you'd turn there. Now that you've got it, when Jesus was on this earth and it was the night that He was going to be arrested and He knew He would be dying the next day, He brought those disciples of His before Him in John 16:33. And He told those disciples, in the world you have tribulations. Take courage, for I have overcome the world. Jesus spoke those words before He was ever arrested. And you know what He could do with that? He knew the victory was going to be His because Jesus trusted in His Father. And He encourages those disciples there, I've overcome the world. Take courage. If you're going to put your faith in Jesus, understand that Jesus knew He had it before He ever got there. Well, we pick up here in Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. The only way we can see Jesus, the only way we can fix our eyes on Jesus is by faith. I can't see His physical body, neither can you. You and I are going to have to be affixed, because when you think about Jesus, Jesus saw the victory before He ever died. He knew what His Father was going to do. But you know what He did? When He was facing death, the greatest tribulation on this earth that anyone could ever face, you know what He did? He said He endured the cross and He despised the shame. How in the world could He endure such hostilities? How in the world did Jesus overcome? He says, who for the joy set before Him. God told Jesus, this is where this thing is headed. And you're going to be with Me. And Jesus took His faith and He put it in God and the promises of God. And so therefore, when He was going through the most crucial time in His life, He was going to end up friendless. He was going to end up alone as far as people on this earth. And you know what He did? For the joy set before Him, He endured. He despised. He knew what He had to go through. But He did it. He put His faith in the promises of God, and He overcame the world by sitting down at the right hand of the Father. He went through it. He accomplished it. He did it. Jesus, the author and perfecter, He says, of faith. He wrote the book by faith. He lived by faith. He led by faith. He made it and completed everything God needed to complete by faith. Then where in the world are we going to look? Are we going to look at the troubles over here because something is going on and it's really taking me down? I'm really disgusted. I'm really depressed about this. Well, what are you looking at? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That's the fact. And the problem is that we look at everything else but Jesus. We look and reflee to everybody that will listen and not listen to Jesus. The victory, back in 1 John 5:4, the victory that has overcome the world is our faith. You and I need a committed faith. We need a trusting faith. We need a faith that does not swerve, that does not waver, but a faith in God, that God is our Father. And He guarantees victory over the world if you can trust Him. Well, look at verse 5 of 1 John 5. Who is the one that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Who is the one that overcomes the world? Did you notice the word in verse 5? He who believes. That word believes shows up again. And for those who've been here, you know we dealt with it. It's the same word believes back in verse 1. And it's a believes that has an S on the end of it. Just a little bit of understanding. When we talk about believes, this is a strengthened form of faith. It's not a belief to be saved. It goes beyond that. You and I, when we came to Jesus, we heard a gospel message. Someone shared it with you. Somewhere within that gospel message, that's what I want. I want to be one with Jesus. You believed in Him. You came and you repented and you confessed that Jesus was your Savior. He was the Son of God and He died for your sins. You said that. You came in faith. And you were immersed into Christ through baptism. And you were raised up with Him. Have we quit believing since that day? And we come down the road a few years and we say, oh, I wish I could get back what I had. Have you stopped believing? Believes is a continuation. Whatever faith brought you to Jesus must continue to exist after you and Jesus have been united as one. He who believes, believes, and they keep believing, not only in the death of Jesus, but in His resurrected life. You believe in the resurrected life of Jesus right now? Well, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The one who continuously believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now let me throw something at you here. I found it really interesting that here in verse 5, in the beginning in verse 6, He's going to use every name of Jesus. First, do you believe that Jesus is the man? Jesus is His earthly name, His man name. Jehovah is salvation is what He means. He who believes in Jesus the man. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. Jesus was the man. Do you believe in Jesus the man? And not only in believing in Jesus the man now, but he says, believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He is deity. You know, I've got to believe that Jesus is the man and that He's deity. And I'm going to trust in His life as my mediator, as the man who has gone through every single thing that a man or woman can go through on earth, and He overcame. Well, you know what? If you and I keep believing that Jesus is the Son of God, He is deity. Now, keep this in mind in the book. In the book of 1 John, you got to remember, there were people that have left the church. They went out there on their own and they were talking of another Jesus. They spoke of Jesus, but they talked about a different Jesus. And John has to write from that viewpoint. Oh, because they were saying Jesus didn't come in the flesh. Because deity cannot die. And John said, we're witnesses of Him. We touched, we saw the very first part of 1 John 1. That's where John begins. And now John comes to the conclusion of the book. He's getting to the end. And he said, you want to overcome? Let me tell you about the overcomers. The overcomers are those who continue to believe that Jesus, the man, is the Son of God, is deity. And you got to hold on to that because he overcame. What should I expect? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Continually to believe. But look at verse 6. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Not only was Jesus man, and Jesus was deity, he is also the Messiah, the anointed of God. And he said, this anointed of God, this Messiah is the one who came by water and by blood. Not with water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies because the Spirit is the truth. The Spirit testifies. He came by water, and he came by blood, and there is no lie in the Holy Spirit. And he testified to that. Well, what does it mean? Verse 7. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three are in agreement. The Spirit of God, the water and the blood, they are united on who this Jesus is. And if you and I are going to be overcomers in the world, we've got to see Him for who He is too. We've got to keep believing in Him. We've got to keep our eyes on Him. We've got to look at the promises that are tied to Him. And the Spirit's testifying along with the water and the blood. Well, Look at verse 7. For these three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that He has testified concerning His Son. Oh, man gives testimony. Oh, they were giving testimony all the way back the time Jesus died. And they tried to say, yeah, the disciples stole His body. That was Matthew's account. He said that was the story that was being circulated. But you know what? God said, let me tell you what. My testimony is greater than any testimony of man. I don't need someone testifying. I have the Spirit testifying. I have the blood of Jesus testifying. And I have the water of Jesus Christ testifying. You say, well, what are those three? In Luke chapter 3, when Jesus was baptized, the moment He came up out of the water, He said, the Holy Spirit, and He was in bodily form, in the form of a dove, descended from the skies, from the heavens, and came and landed on Jesus. And then God spoke, this is My beloved Son. God's the Father and gave birth to His Son, and anyone born of God overcomes the world. The Spirit of God was a testimony. In John chapter 1, He said that the reason that Jesus was baptized and the Spirit in dove form came down was to show that He was the one for Israel. He was a testimony to Israel that this is who we're talking about. The water and the Spirit together testified this was the Son of God. And then we come later and we look at the death of Jesus, and we just celebrated that. Leroy brought our attention back to the scene of that cross. and the blood that poured out. But you know where he died? Jesus didn't die in the room of some building. He died publicly. He died before the Jewish nation to see him, the tens of thousands of whoever they may have been. He died before all of the Jewish religious leaders that wanted to get rid of him. He died before a Roman Gentile world. And that day that he died on that cross and that sky grew dark, that earthquake, rocks were split, graves were opened, the veil of the temple was torn. There were witnesses that day that stood there and they watched the death of Jesus. And they saw Jesus be stabbed in the side with a spear. And out came water and blood. And that was the testimony. And a Roman soldier, an outsider, an unbeliever, stood at the base of the cross in Mark 15:39. Surely, this man was the Son of God. He admitted it. Nothing like this has ever been. And so the Holy Spirit testifies, it's Jesus who's born of God. It was the water that testified. It's Jesus was the Son of God, the man. It was the blood of Jesus that was shed that testifies. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed of God. And they all three agree in this testimony. This is who he is. But he's not done. In Acts chapter 2, when the apostles began to preach to the people, you remember what came upon the apostles? The Holy Spirit came on those apostles, and what did they begin to do? They began to speak in tongues. You go back and you read it. And when they began to speak in tongues, you know what testimony they gave? They said the reason, the power of these tongues came from the Holy Spirit to prove that Jesus has sat down at the right hand of God. And this is the witness. Spirit of God gave testimony through the speaking in tongues that Jesus is there. And so what he says for you and me, verse 9. Well, let's just verse 7. For there are three that testify. The Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for the testimony of God is this, that He has testified concerning His Son. And man tries to make it less. And church, we walk and we live in a time where man says it's psychology, where man says it's some kind of philosophy, where man says that we have their traditions. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And why don't people overcome? Because they do not believe and continue believing that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ. See, you're not born of God. You can't overcome. You're left on your own to the psychology and the philosophies and the ideas of man and their traditions. That's what you're left with. But you know what? If you and I keep putting our faith in the resurrected Christ and in His life, you can overcome no matter what happens in this world. And that's the promise. And that's the testimony that we have. Look at verse 10. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe in God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. You believe in the Son of God? He said, you keep doing that, you've got the testimony in you. You don't need anybody else telling you how to do something. You don't need anybody else telling you how to overcome. But if you don't continue to believe, then you say whatever God's testified about His Son is all a bunch of lies. And you sure don't want to be on that side. No, those who are born of God overcomes the world. And our faith in Jesus is what gives us the victory where we can overcome the world. You know, I go back and I get thinking about this, and I look at the apostles, I look at the first century church. I mean, go back and look at the end of Hebrews 11. He talks about people, you know, being sawn in two. How could you do that? You talk about people living in holes in the ground, people living in caves. Would anybody in here, you know, would you give up your home to go live in a hole in the ground? But you know what? Concerning their faith in God, concerning their faith in Jesus, they weren't about to give up Jesus. And God said, these men and women, the world's not even worthy of them because of their faith in me. How did Paul go through everything that he went through? How did Timothy? How did Barnabas? How did these men end up in prison? And, you know, and we would be sitting there thinking, this is the doom. You come back tonight and I'm going to show you the promises of God, how we overcome, and we're going to use the life of Joseph for that. But I'm telling you, we've got to believe and we've got to keep believing, because the ones that are born of God, they overcome the world. They're not overcome by the world. They overcome no matter where they find themselves. Keep believing. Verse 11. And this is the testimony, and the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and the life is in it, this life is in His Son. God has now given us what? Eternal life. Not the future. Now. The eternal life, this life, is in His Son. The only place that you're going to be able to find life is in Jesus. God placed His life in nowhere else. And you can look on this earth and you can read till you go blue in the face. Only in Jesus did God place eternal life and the life. And He concludes in 12, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. You have the life if you have Jesus. And that life is a guarantee now and to the future. And no matter what I must go through in life now, you're going to overcome. Because God guaranteed anything born of Him overcomes. How many times have we gone to hospitals and we've watched a faithful brother and sister die? And you watch them. And you look at their faith. They're not sitting there fretting and worried. And I mean, they have a genuine faith in Jesus. They're overcomers and they know they're going to overcome. And it is so encouraging, because they keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. And everybody else is trying to holler, well, you got to look here. You got to look there. You either have the life or you're dead spiritually. One of the two. And God said, the life is in my Son. If you have Jesus, you have the life. Now, if a person's not been baptized into Jesus, they don't have the life. But if you've been baptized into Jesus, you have the life. The question is, do you keep believing that He is the life and trust His resurrection? This morning, I give it to you, and I ask you to search your heart.